Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for your love, your grace, for your message, for the opportunity to listen and to learn. And we pray today, God, that we may not just be hearers, but we may be doers. May your word bear fruit in our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So last week, if you were here, I talked a little bit about my ministry journey, right? What are some of the things that have brought me to this place, as where I'm now a pastor, and I said that we all have our own journeys, and all the journeys don't end up here behind a pulpit, but we all are called to serve and to share the good news of Jesus. Amen. So we talked about that. And one of the things that I've been thinking about in that regard is how difficult that change of direction was for me when I first made it. I gotta tell you, I had my plans. I had a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan of what my life was gonna look like at a certain point, and it looked nothing. It looks nothing like what my plan was at the time. I didn't expect to be a pastor here, or in other churches where I've served. But by God's grace, I am now here before you. And it's fascinating because I'm reminded of this story by this brother called Shane Claiborne. He says, he reflects on his own ministry journey. He says, you know, there are people out there who will tell you, oh, my life was messed up when I came to Jesus. Everything was bad. I was struggling with all kinds of things, and then Jesus came into my life and fixed things. And Shane says, well, that's the contrary for me. I had everything in line, everything was in order, and then Jesus came into my life and messed it up. It feels like that for me sometimes, I gotta say. Like I said, I had my plans, but then Jesus came in and kind of moved me in a different direction, and I resisted, I remember, at the time. But when you hear the call, friends, you got to respond. You know how this feels, right? The moment comes and you're being guided by the Spirit, and it's so compelling that you have to respond. Becoming a pastor was a radical change, not just for me. At the time, I was also married, and so I had to engage with my wife in conversation. At some point, had she said no, I don't know what that would have been like for us. If I said, hey, let's move to New Jersey and go to seminary, she could have said no. At that moment, I would have said, okay, what do we do then? You know, let's stick around and see how it is that we do ministry in this place. But when I go to her, she's like, yeah, okay, New Jersey, sure. We don't know anybody there. Ah, it's okay. Let's go. There's snow, there's squirrels, there's all these other things, there's trees. Yeah, let's go. And because she did that and she felt that the Spirit guiding us, moving us as a marriage in that direction, we were able to move like that. But it's not an easy decision to make. It's not easy when Jesus messes up your life and messes up your plans. And I was thinking about this when I was reading about Jonah in Nineveh. As I was exploring these themes of repentance and change, because in Jonah 3, the passage that we just read, we witness a transformative power of God's grace as Nineveh repents. But we know that the story of Nineveh, it's not just the story of Nineveh. It can be our story. Amen? When we're called and moved to go in a different direction by God. And we all are faced with this situation. And we can choose to just kind of go in the same direction and know what where that journey, where that path leads. Or we move in a different direction, embracing perhaps the unknown and the anxiety of uncertainty. And man, I've prayed to God that I'm open to His guidance. Because that change of direction can be very difficult. It seems that now in our modern times, I turn on the TV, I like to watch the political shows, and my sense is that we don't look at changing our minds as a positive thing. Do you get that sense too? Or is it just me? It seems that many of our leaders and many of the people in power are expected to believe one thing and one thing only for the duration of their careers. But is this how people in general work? I mean, there have been times, like I said, when I've had to change my mind just to keep on moving. Same, you know, some changes in my mind have been small, but some have been pretty significant. I believe, friends, that contrary to what we see on TV, changing your mind is not a weakness. It can actually be a virtue that demands courage. This is true in politics, this is true in religion, and it's true in life in general. Because it can acknowledge the difficulty in altering long-held beliefs and how uncomfortable that can make us. Let me ask you this, when was the last time you changed your mind? Can you think of a particular time? How did you come to that realization? Oh, you know what, I need to do something different at this point. You can share if you want to. Maybe you haven't changed your mind. In which case, let me tell you, this sermon is for you. But can you think of a moment when you changed your mind about something?
This morning.
This morning? Yes. Can you want to share?
Yes. Shall I take a sweater, a coat?
It's going to be on for sure. All right, there you go. Pretty small, right? Yeah, but we're faced with these decisions every day. You know? I know that Michelle and I were talking about this because since I got married, changing my mind has been almost like a requirement. You know? Before I got married, I had this idea of what marriage was, of how marriage worked, and then I got married and realized, no, that's not really how it works. I've learned to engage, or I'm learning, I should say. I don't claim to have it down. I'm still working on it. My wife will tell you all about it if you ask her. But I'm learning about the importance of communication and making decisions together. Does that mean that I'm always going to be happy with those decisions? Well, maybe, maybe not. If I'm not happy, I'll let it be known. but it's the way to do it. You know, we have to compromise and change our minds and work together. Find a way to move forward. That works in marriage, works in parenting. Now, does that work like that in churches? Do we have to be open to other people's opinions when we go to church? Who says yes? Who says no? Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. Because, yeah, it is, I do believe, almost miraculous that God can bring a group of people together and make a church and create a community of faith. Because we're so different. We come from different places. And I when I say this, I don't just mean geographically, but you know, we come from different backgrounds, we have different ideas, and there are moments when we disagree. But to be able to come together and listen to each other and change our minds, friends, that is the work of the Spirit right there. Can you say amen? Amen. That is the work of the Spirit in every single one of us. It is interesting to me that in this particular passage in Jonah, the people of Nineveh demonstrate flexibility. But not, it's not just Nineveh. God himself changes his mind. Did you catch that in verse 10? Then God changed his mind. And that just, I've been thinking about that this whole week. How to articulate this? What does it mean? Friends, I do believe that there are things about God that remain constant. I know in my heart that God is love, and God has been love, and God will be love for every single one of us. But when I read in Jonah that God changed his mind, that God responded, that God heard prayers, that God saw actions, and then something changed, I am humbled by that, and I think, you know what, if God changed his mind, why can I not change my mind? Why would I not be open to changing my mind? You know, who here knows the motto of the United Methodist Church, by the way? Open hearts, open minds, and open doors.
Yeah.
Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Yeah. I think that's a great motto for us to have, to keep our open minds to different ideas, to keep our open hearts, to embrace perhaps change or a different expression of God's love, and to keep our doors open to different people. And I always like to say to people, you know, if you pray for more people to come, you better be ready. Because what happens when more people come and they bring their ideas and their difference? Are we ready for that? It's like saying, you know, if you pray for rain, you better bring your umbrella, right? If you're praying for growth, for relationships, then you got to know with that has to come some flexibility and openness, open minds. Open hearts, open doors. The word for repentance in the Greek, in the New Testament, is metanoia. And repentance is not, my friends, just something that happens in your brain, according to the New Testament. It's not just something that happens, it's just not changing your ideas. But repentance requires a change of direction in how you live your life. If you did something yesterday and you change your mind and you do the same thing tomorrow, did you really change your mind? I wonder. It's not an idea, it's a change of direction. Metanoia, repentance, it confronts us, it moves us, it changed us. It may even awaken us to the perhaps harm that we've caused to other people. And if that's the case, then we better make changes to the way we do our lives, or we do things. It's transformative. That is what repentance is. And if changing your mind is difficult, I gotta tell you, repentance is tough, but it's required. Repentance is individuals, a change of direction. But sometimes communities get to experience repentance as well. Matthew 3:8, produce fruit worthy of repentance. Let it be shown when you change your mind. Let it be shown when you are moved to something different. In other words, your repentance must also have tangible results. Where do we begin? I do believe that there are tools available for us that can help us just think about that. Can help us think. One of the tools that I kept thinking about this week was the examen, which is a spiritual practice. It's the spiritual exercise. I'm going to tell you how to do it right now. It's very quick. It's got five steps. Okay, we can do it very quickly right now together, and this may be something you incorporate in your spiritual life as well. Step number one. Well, you have to take some time. Perhaps be at home or here, and do the first thing. Step number one is give thanks. Spend a few moments in gratitude for the gifts and blessings of the day. If you're thinking about yesterday, were you blessed yesterday in some way? What are some of those blessings that you received from God? Can you express your gratitude? Number one. Number two, ask for light. Ask God to enlighten you, showing where He has been at work and present in your day through events, people, and places. Can you look back and see where God was moving you yesterday? Perhaps at the moment you didn't realize that God was there, but sometimes you look back and you're like, God was there, and I didn't realize it. Can we look back and ask for light? Number three, examine the day. Review the moments of the day, noticing what has led to consolation and what has led to desolation. How did you feel yesterday? Where did you find light and what was difficult? Number four, seek forgiveness. Ask God's forgiveness for the times you have acted, spoken, or thought contrary to His grace and calling of you. This is difficult because it requires for us to admit and to recognize when we miss the mark. Number five, resolve to change. Decide what it is. Decide what in your behavior or attitude you will try to improve tomorrow. This takes about 10 or 15 minutes. And this is a very personal kind of conversation, but perhaps we can do it together as well. Can we as a church give thanks for the blessings we have received from God? Can we ask to be enlightened? Can we examine our past? Can we seek forgiveness if we've missed the mark? And can we resolve to change? All of this requires humility on our part and an understanding that we depend on God's grace. It may be easy for some of us. For some of us, it may be more difficult. It requires introspection. But there are times, my friends, when changing directions, as difficult as it may be, is the only way forward. So as individuals and as a church, let us be open to that. Let us identify areas in our life that require correction and change. And let us learn to see God in that process. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. Changing our minds can be difficult. Changing our ways, changing the way we live can be difficult. And so we pray that you are there with us, enlightening us, giving us peace when we experience anxiety, moving us forward when we're paralyzed by fear. Help us understand that we need you, that we need your guidance. Help us understand that we don't know everything and that we need each other as a church. For it has been your will that we are a church. But you don't call us to be a church just to sit in the corner and avoid each other. You call us to be a church to engage in conversation, to learn from each other, and to see how you move in the lives of other people. For it is through conversations. It is through relationships that our spiritual lives are enriched. Loving God, we know that sometimes as we look to the world, holding on to your opinion rigidly, without changing your mind, that can be so valuable. But God, as we read our scripture, we wonder, if you changed your mind, why can we not change our minds? Why can we not be open to difference? At all times, God, help us be open to your guidance. Help us be open to you. For we know that just as you were with us yesterday, you will be with us tomorrow. You will be constant in our lives. And so it is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.